You think you could beat us at fantasy football? How about Matt Harmon or Marcus Grant from NFL? Dynasty nerds. Think you could beat the football fellas? Think you could beat the Clock Dodgers podcast? Well, this is the time to find out. Sleeper Wire is hosting its annual Pro-Am League, and we've got listener spots available. You'll be playing against podcasts and experts from the fantasy world, Roto Experts, Dynasty Happy Hour, Sleeperbot, Fantasy Life, Eat Sleep Fantasy. They're all in the Pro-Am, and this is your chance to play against them. All you have to do, go to sleeperwire.com/Pro-Am, P-R-O-A-M. Make a donation to Sleeperwire's cause. Our good friend Rob, battling chronic Lyme disease, donate $10. $10 gets you an entry into a raffle. The names picked will play in the Pro-Am against these experts. The more $10 increments you donate, the more raffle tickets you get. We're going to be picking the winners soon and drafting late August. Go to sleepwire.com/Pro-Am for details and how to enter. Go today.
The mail never stops.
Here comes the mailman.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time. The mail's here. When you control the mail, you control information.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
If there's something strange in your league, who you gonna call?
Sleeper Wire!
What is up, sleepers? We are doing a live show tonight, and I'm pretty excited. It's Max, if you can't tell, you know, your favorite host. And joining me today is my boy, who I haven't seen or talked to in forever, Julian.
And what up,
darling? Mike, darling. What's up, guys?
How are we doing this evening?
It's your boy.
It's your boy. Your boy, Julian. I'm doing great. You guys down for a mailbag today?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, you have to be because we're starting the show and the show's a mailbag.
You're going to have to give me like at least 10 minutes. I'm not ready.
Oh, all right. You compose yourself. Me and Michael, we'll just talk amongst ourselves. Hopefully no one's listening. You know, we'll be fine. Now, before we jump into the mailbag, I'm going to have to bring up some breaking news. You know, like Will Fuller, broken collarbone, out for 3 to 4 months. Yeah. Tannehill, non-contact injury. That could be bad for his literal career. And then, if I read right, Dixon from the Bengals messed up his ankle or knee today. They haven't really released much info on that yet. But, I mean, it's definitely something to look at.
Mixon. Guys, Joe Mixon?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm currently looking at different articles, like Titans first rounder Davis undergoing MRI surgery. This is live. Anything can happen.
You do this a lot.
Yeah, we do this all the time, right?
Bunch of all your information.
I do want to start with Tannehill, though, because it is something that I like the Dolphins. Like, not as, like, a winning team. Like, I've never put money on them. But for fantasy, they do have certain aspects about their team that, like, I find, you know, really appealing. Like Jarvis Landry, Jay Ajayi.
Well, yeah, you got, I mean, Ryan Tannehill and, right.
Yeah. And Tannehill, you know, as bad as he was as, like, a quarterback to have on your team, for the players around him, he was good enough to make them valuable. That being said, with him potentially having a season-ending injury because he hurt the knee that his ACL surgery was already on, I guess the Dolphins are looking at Cutler and they're looking at Kaepernick. Now, I kind of want him to sign Cutler because I think there's still more in the tank. But me personally, if they sign Kaepernick and Kaepernick does really well, I think Tannehill's career is over. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's dead on. I think Tannehill, I hope he's not hurt because he was really starting to get it together with that team. But, I mean, if you're going to put anybody in there, I think Colin Kaepernick could actually be a decent fit. Although it hurts to say that because I really just dislike Colin Kaepernick. He's never on any of my team. Not for any political reasons or anything like that. I just don't like him as a quarterback. I think he's terrible. But
well, I mean, he's not terrible. You got to think, when he first came out of the gates, he was great. And I feel like the team kind of imploded around him. Now, political like thoughts aside, that's not what we're here about. Julian, what do you think? Do you think this could be like the final nail in the coffin for Cutler? I mean, for Tannehill, if Cutler
Tannehill
or Kaepernick goes in there and does well?
Yeah, absolutely. If he does well, of course. I mean, Tannehill hasn't been better than what was it, like a top 10 in fantasy ever? Or
maybe once. Maybe once.
Maybe once. I mean, just that's just fantasy purposes, but I mean, for on you know NFL, you know basis, I think he might be done. He could be done, especially if Kaepernick does well. Yeah,
yeah, he shows a lot of promise, but you know, there's always issues. And now, moving on to Fuller breaking his collarbone, I liked him as a late round pick, but I guess this was actually asked last week when we thought about Braxton Miller. Let's just boost him. But enough about the fantasy talk, about the injury talk. Let's just jump into the mailbag because we've got a bunch of questions. Hopefully people are listening, and if not, they can listen later. And if you listen later, guys, leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah, there's also a ton more – well, not a ton, but a couple more injuries that happened today. But I guess we don't have to talk about it. But DeMarco Murray's one.
Yeah, but DeMarco Murray, I'm not trying to scare people because DeMarco Murray's injury supposedly is like precautionary. It really shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for the early drafters, I don't want people being like, oh, I got to get Derrick Henry in the second round now, the third round, because DeMarco is out.
No, that's one of those things.
Where it's once more information comes out about that, I do want to, you know, look into it more. But as far as, like, major injuries, I mean, Tannehill basically Teddy Bridgewater. Right. Not as bad as Teddy.
Right, it's the biggest one today.
Yeah, biggest one today. And Fuller, I mean, deeper leagues, they're going to be on – he's going to be on some teams. Mixon scares people just because people – he was hyped. So Mixon's something to look at. Gio's coming off a knee injury. So if Mixon is actually hurt, which the reports I've read say he should be fine, then Hill's the man all the way because Gio just got hit low in practice the other day and is coming off knee surgery. But like I said, let's hop into some questions that our lovely producer Steve typed up for us all nice and neat. All right, guys, we are going to start with Nuffin12. His question is, who do you think will be a good flex option in PPR this year? Mike, start with you.
You know, my go-to for this question every single time is going to be Danny Woodhead. I think he's going to be the utility flex player. Great running back, great pass catcher. Quarterback situation is a little iffy in Baltimore right now, so stay tuned as far as that goes. But even if you have a backup quarterback, even if you for some reason have Colin Kaepernick back there, he'll still throw it to Danny Woodhead. So I really like Danny Woodhead as a PPR flex position this year.
Yeah, that was you took one of my guys there, Mike. I was gonna but no, that I think that's definitely – I think he makes the top of the flex list for sure, if not a low-end RB2. But then, you got other guys like possibly Gillislee maybe or, Kelvin Benjamin can maybe be a good flex play, Crowder. Just some people that are mostly drafted in like the sixth and seventh round. I did a couple mocks, so I have a list here.
You know, dude, we've all been hammered up mocks. I really, really like Crowder. I think he's going to have a great year this year. But you said Gillislee. I'm thinking James White. Personally, I think he's going to be the guy there, especially in PPR. But I find it funny because the producer, Steve, just sent me a message and was like, hey, you pronounced that wrong. It's New England Fan 12, not Neffin 12.
Where's your glasses?
Where's your glasses, guys? Man? I got to buy some cheaters. All right, Jesus, so let's see if I can read the other name properly for the next question. Bio2Profoyo. Bio2Profoyo. That's what I'm sticking with, unless, you know, producer Steve sends me another message saying, hey, idiot, you did it wrong again. Is it all right to draft the same position in the first two rounds, or does it leave a team too unbalanced? Draft double running back. I love it. Julian, start this one off. What do you think?
No, I mean, I've done a couple mocks, like I said, this month, over the summer, I guess. I have no problem getting the same position in the first two rounds. Whatever helps your team win. Like if my second pick, let's say I got, you know, Julio Jones, or you know what? Let's just say I have McCoy as my first pick, and let's say I pick late in the first round. If my next pick could be like a Todd Gurley, and that might be okay with me. I think Gurley is gonna have a bounce back year, and he has a higher ceiling than most of those people that are going around in that region. And it might be even more than the next wide receiver that is near Gurley's name. I have no problem. I have no problem with that at all.
I mean, before I give my two cents, Mike, what do you think?
Well, I think maybe I'm hearing the question differently, because what I'm thinking is it good to go down straight as opposed to, like I say, a snake draft? You know, where
the ten no. Second. Oh, like the same position, like you pick eight in the first round, you pick eight in the second. Right. I literally don't know a single person who does that outside of like baseball leagues. So I'm going to assume he means position as in like what position, like running back, yes, quarterback, receiver.
Right. I take it that way too.
Mm-hmm. Well, then absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, get two running backs, get two receivers. Just go with whoever's the strongest, who's ever going to give me
best available player.
Falls to you. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter to me if it's a wide receiver or a running back. If it's Julio Jones, I'm taking Julio Jones.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you got to think, in our last mock we did on the show, my first round pick was Ezekiel Elliott, followed up with Todd Gurley, and then I got Lamar Miller in the third round. I loaded up on running backs. And then guess what? I had three starting running backs, and I was like, all right, I'm going to draft every receiver I see. Like, because, you know, that's the thing. Like, there's still talent there. If you're going to double pick, I mean, unless you get like, oh, I got with the eighth pick by some miracle, Julio Jones is there. And then you wrap around and get Green, do it. Or if you get Green and like Jordy Nelson, do it. That's another great setup.
Right.
Continue.
No, I was just going to say, just to piggyback a little bit on what you said, running backs, you can load on running backs this year. I mean, yeah. if you get two wide receivers in the first two rounds, that's okay. There's so many running backs this year.
Whoa. Disagree.
What?
Disagree.
Come on.
Kangaroo court right now. I disagree with you. There are so few elite running backs in the NFL right now, so few running backs who don't share a backfield, that if you can get two or three solid running backs, get them. Because you got to think, you said Crowder. In a PPR league, Crowder's an option. Jordan Matthews, who's in the 11th round ADP right now, is a great PPR option. Your first receiver could be Jarvis Landry in the 5th round or 4th round, depending on what kind of league you're in. And in a PPR, he's going to average you 20 points a week. So for me, there's so much depth in receiver this year that the running – because there's – you got to think, in the NFL these days, there's very few one-and-done receivers.
I'm thinking more standard.
Well, standard, yes. Standard, yeah. You're looking for the Garrett Blunt's relevant in standard.
Right.
But if you look at receivers, like Julio Jones still has a counterpart. Mike Evans, there's people surrounding him. AJ Green, people surrounding him. Antonio Brown is the only receiver right now him and Odell. Look, I love Julio, and I'm not knocking Julio, not knocking Mike, not knocking Green. But Odell and Antonio Brown almost transcend like the receiver position as to where like they are two of the most valuable assets. You know what I mean?
I kind of do. You know, I was sitting here thinking about liking about the value of the running back this year as well. How many running backs have already gotten hurt? Week one of training camp. Was there like five or six that went down already this week? I mean, such a valuable position and so hard to get when you start getting to like weeks eight and weeks nine.
Well, you got to think, Fuller just went down and no one even batted a nine. Like, oh, Braxton Miller. Oh, this person. Right. You know, I liked Fuller. I thought he was going to be good. If Jordy Nelson goes down, everyone thinks like Jordy Nelson's awesome. Because he is, like, no one's gonna freak out because, you know, like, it's Adams, Cobb, like, someone will step up. It's just gonna happen like that.
Oh, for the team, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where I feel like the receiving core is so strong this year for the NFL in general. The talent pool is huge. So, running back for me personally is where you definitely want to double up if you're going to. Like I said, unless you get like some unreal thing where it's AJ Green, Jordy, Julio, Jordy, or AJ, like something crazy. Eight-person league stuff.
I've been seeing a lot of Green and Jordy even in 10 teams. So that's been a pretty common loop on the 9th and 10th picks.
Well, I think that's the ADP right now. I think Green is like eight or nine around Evans, and then Jordy's like 11 or 12, so it makes sense that they would be drafted very, very close to each other, possibly on the wraparound. But then
good for those people.
on a ton of running backs. All right.
That's right.
Moving on to the next question. Fog. What player would you target as an easy 4 to 6 game start in their schedule who can then be traded at inflated value?
There's a lot going on with this question.
Yeah. So, all right. We're looking for a player that has an easy first half of the schedule and a harder second half. I mean, realistically, that's kind of really difficult to say because I look at schedules. I look at the Patriots schedule this year, and I'm like, I laugh because I genuinely find it, like, hilarious. But, I don't know. Who do you guys think?
Yeah, and, I mean, it's tough to say when you talk about schedules. I mean, it can look like a tough schedule, but it doesn't mean that your player's going to have a difficult time scoring. Sometimes it does mean that, yeah, but it doesn't all the time, you know, per se.
Mike, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm trying to look up some schedule rankings right now. You guys can go
off the top of my head. I know that the Cardinals start off pretty easy. I think they might have a game or two that's difficult, but I know their first half schedule isn't the hardest. Yeah, it's not that hard. So if you could get Fitzgerald in like the third or fourth, he's probably gonna kill it. Or John Brown, who I hate, is probably gonna kill it. I'd dump him. I don't hate Fitzgerald because Fitzgerald's Fitzgerald. He's awesome. But like John Brown, he's done absolutely nothing to warrant the love he's getting, and people absolutely love him.
He's fallen off my love list.
What? Why do you fall off your love list?
Because he came out the gate running before you, no pun, but he came out the gate, you know, scoring these points. And I don't know, he kind of disappointed me last year. So much so that he's just fallen off for me. I think even if he bounces back a little bit, I don't think it'll be maybe just a couple of games for it to me.
Well, I mean, you can also look at Miami. Their first 4 weeks are pretty easy. So you can target, like, if you don't believe in Jarvis Landry, if you don't believe in Ajayi, even though you're going to have to pay a high premium for Ajayi, you could probably trade him away because his schedule is pretty lackadaisical the first few weeks. Martavius Bryant with the Steelers has an easy few games. The first couple games are pretty easy. And he's coming off being suspended for like 2 years. I don't know, this is kind of difficult. I never really thought about this because usually when I draft players, I want to keep them. And I only trade players that I know other people want. Like when I go into a draft, I don't think like, oh, I can use them for a week and trade them. Unless you're looking at like Jaquizz Rodgers, where you don't actually expect Jaquizz to keep the job. He could. So if he has two good weeks, you can be like, hey, look, he's going to keep the job here. Take him.
Right. Take him.
So, yeah, like, I could see that. But for me, when I draft, like, I'm in one of my quote-unquote big money leagues. There is a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He will do anything to have Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, so I make for damn sure I have one of them. And I can literally get whatever I want. So, I mean, that's what I look at for, like, inflated trade value. What but the players to target with easy schedules, you don't have to schedule yourself because you also, like, who knows who's going to break out.
Well, I'm looking at the rank of schedules right now, and I see that Minnesota Vikings have what it looks like the second best schedule. Dalvin Cook could maybe be a player. Who knows? If he has a good first couple of weeks, possibly. But I don't know. I think he'll have a pretty good season if he's beginning well. I think he'll follow through with that, you know, in the rest of the season. So
Latavius Murray to start. Everyone just gave up on him. I love Latavius
Murray. Ideally, I do too. He has the size. He's big, 6'3". He's a bulldozer. But I don't know what's going on with him. We got to wait for the rest of the preseason.
Mike, what do you think?
I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I'm like, to me, I never draft for trade value. My trading always goes towards helping and developing my team, you know? So I try to make the trades that are necessary. Like say, if I lose two running backs in week one, for instance, or something, I'm going to have to start targeting another running back. But that to me, I really don't know how to answer because I don't ever really think about it like that. And I never really also look at strength of schedule. I just go with the players that I feel like are going to produce in the most opportunities. And so,
touché, Mike.
Yeah. Well, that's like definitely a good way to think about it.
Well, you know, I do look
at strength of schedule for certain teams. Like if I'm drafting someone on San Fran Like, I look kind of ahead to see, like, all right, well, they're playing X, Y, Z. For them, like, you know what I mean? So I'm going to have this player. I should technically have about 10 good weeks out of him of the season. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I kind of judge it and to see how I need to fill in from around there. Mm-hmm. But I completely agree. And the unfortunate thing with this question is if you picked up Ajayi, no one knew Ajayi was going to do that. No one knew Ajayi was going to go all out and just score a trillion touchdowns and then kind of fall off at the end. Not really fall off, but not really retain that initial value.
Right.
So, I mean, like, that's a hard question because who knows? Like, Jaquizz Rodgers could come out week one and two, like I said, and be an animal, dump him. You know what I mean? Get something if you want to. If you don't believe in him, dump him. It's kind of really who you believe in. Because if a team's going gangbusters and they're winning and your player's killing it, it might not be like a fluke for four games. It could be an actual trend.
Right. And just to add on that, I think the only time really that it might be okay to think about that, because I don't think about that either. I look for strength of my own team. But if I had to think about it and I selected, you know, two running backs in the first two rounds, and then I select a third running back, possibly I might be trading that third running back at some point. But other than that, I don't really look to trade.
All right. So the next question is from the Desabides. Julio Jones or Mike Evans? I have the sixth pick in a standard draft. Julio is the assumed top six pick. All right. I'd go running back.
and at that point, McCoy, I think, is the best running back at that point.
Well, I mean, you got to think, if it's standard, you're looking for touchdowns, right? PPR doesn't matter. Yards are yards, no matter how you look at them. I'd probably go Julio over Evans, because I think Evans has more receiving talent around him. And Jameis is more likely to spread the ball. Julio is going to be Matty Ice's only real main target. But that being said, like, I would go running back. McCoy, Ajayi, maybe reach for Davante Adams. I love them. And standard running back is gold. Running back is the key. My personal opinion.
For me,
like,
I think it's...
Oh, sorry, Julio. I said Julio. Julian.
Julio. Yeah, I mean, I can be Julio.
You cannot be Julio Jones. Maybe in the dating career, you can be Julio. Right now,
if he was like... If he was, like, you know, 7 inches shorter and a couple of pounds lighter, you know?
It not could rich. Be me. Doesn't have
not rich.
You know, there's a few factors.
But, no, I do like your point there. I've in the couple of mocks that I've done, and I actually picked fifth or sixth this year. So I'm right with you, Dez Abides. And it always comes up as either Julio, you know, OBJ, and the list goes on. And then you see McCoy right there. That's like five slots lower. I think McCoy is the better option. But if you want to pick a wide receiver, then it might be Jones, just because, like Max said, Jameis Winston's going to throw it around.
All right, darling.
Aren't hyping this up enough, man. You guys, this is a crazy question. He even says, I'm not sold on Julio Jones in that question.
Well, that's why I told him, take a running back, man.
This guy is
can't hear anybody
on the field, and he scores touchdowns like crazy. Julio Jones all the way right there. And I'm hard-pressed to think of a back who isn't already gone that provides the elite level of talent that Julio Jones does.
Yeah, Julio Jones is an absolute animal. But if you're not sold on a receiver, if you're not sold on Julio Jones, then definitely go for a running back. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's like, I've stressed in every show I've done so far this offseason that running back is where you want to go. In the first round, second round, possibly third, in every mock I do, I try to grab running back in the first round. So that being said, like... Oh, thanks, producer. So this is a live show, guys. So, you know, things kind of just happen, and my producer is just giving me crap for rambling. Well, I'm going to ramble on because I'm the host. This is your fault you made me this way.
But, you know, like my, I said, my, if you're not my mic,
receiver.
My mic wasn't coming into us. So I couldn't hear anyone. But you know, when you hear Max, I guess you know it's working.
Yeah, that's how you know it's working. But like I said, if you're not sold on a receiver, don't take him just because ADP tells you to take him. Don't take a running back just because I tell you to take him. It's my recommendation this year. Look at the facts. Look at the stats. Look at how your league scoring is. If your league scoring is leading more towards a running back friendly league, which standards usually do, then go for the running back. Go for what you think's right. Because if you're asking us, you're clearly not sold on either receiver. And that's my take. It's my hot corner, hot minute. You like it? Yeah. All right. So the next one's from C Day 007. How would your strategy change, if at all, in a keeper league where the other teams have really good keepers, top 10 to 20 players, while your team doesn't have the same kind of advantage? I want to answer this really quick, and then I'm going to jump to Mike to give his thoughts. I'm just going to say this quick because I'm actually in a baseball keeper league. I've been in it for years. The top, like, 50 players are gone. And it's kind of, like, weird to say, load up on rookies. Like, punt a season. Take the L for 1 year. I did it last year. No, you laugh. No, I did it not last year. I did it 2 years ago.
I know you're so serious.
I threw my season away. Right now, my team, the average age is, like, 24 in my baseball team, and they're so sick. Like, it worked out for me. But if your concern is for the future, if this is a league that you plan on being in for a long time, this is the kind of league where you start loading up on young talent. You load up like Derek Carr won't be available. Like you take the Derek Carr over the Matt Ryan. You know what I mean? You take the Mixon over or the Abdullah, whatever his name is. Yeah, Amir Abdullah, over an older running back. Like, oh, LeSean McCoy is available. Well, it's like. If you can take LeSean McCoy, you still think you can get Amir, do that. But, like, make sure you get Amir because you want that youth. You want to have it for next season because you already said the top 20 players are gone and on other teams, so your chances of doing well are going to be significantly less. Mike, I will stop talking.
I think you hit the nail right on the head, and I can even just enhance that by dropping a couple great names for you to look for is Brian Hill for the Atlanta Falcons and Darnell Pumphreys for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know how deep your league is or whatever, if they're still available, but those are two great rookies that had a great combine.
Pumphreys is actually getting the book word, the snaps in practice. Julian, any thoughts, buddy?
No, I mean, he doesn't describe whether it's really a dynasty league. He just says keeper league, but I guess it's almost the same thing. I don't know if they you know, spare these keepers after a year or they actually hold on to them for dear life. But I mean, I don't know. He says, oh no, I'm looking at the next question, but, in the keeper league, he says, oh no, I'm mixing up questions. I'm sorry, but I don't know. I mean, I think
folks, congratulations on the live show. You found out Julian can't read.
I know I need glasses too, apparently. But no, I think youth is a good strategy. I think youth is a good strategy.
Yeah, I think the difference between a keeper and a dynasty league is a keeper you only keep a select number of players, where a dynasty you keep your whole team. Because I know that the difference between my baseball team, baseball league's a keeper because we keep 8 players, but our team is 16 players, so we need to still draft. And clearly there's still a draft going on, so I think that's what he means. Yeah, I just draft young, punt a year. It's going to suck. Bite the bullet. You never know, though. You could have the next Ezekiel Elliott on your team, and he could carry you to glory. Wouldn't that be nice? Get one player to carry you to glory, then you get to keep him forever. All right, so next question is Desert Joe. What is your preferred strategy on startup dynasty? I almost said dynasty drafts. On startup dynasty drafts, I'm leaning towards win now strategies, as I think many dynasty players who focus on the future are destined to have free teams in contention for victory. Well, yeah, there are definitely. I just said there are some teams who need to punt because their team isn't good enough to hang. But I mean, win now is great, but at the same time, if your players are aging. I don't know. This is a tough one. Julian, what do you think?
if you got the win now strategy, I mean, but you don't want to have too many old guys. It's a dynasty league. But he is in a win now mentality. So, I mean, if you want to look at it like that, and there's some NFL teams who have the same mentality now, maybe they're just looking for that veteran quarterback, free agent veteran quarterback. Maybe you do need some veteran players on your team if you're on that win now mentality. But you should always try to balance it, especially if it's in a dynasty league, to balance it out with the veterans and the youth players.
Well, it's like my issue with this is it's a dynasty draft and it's a startup. So I don't know if this is the first year of this draft, but like I keep referring to dynasties as baseball just because that's what I'm familiar with, folks. Sorry. But if you look at baseball, you have rate ages from like 18 to like 38 of active players. So the youth is a real thing. In the NFL, the shelf life of an average player is about 8 years. So when you're talking dynasty, you're keeping these players forever. Focusing on the now and focusing on the future is very short. So even if you focus on the future, short of like one season punt, you should be in contention or at least trying every year. Because even if you get the quote-unquote young guys, you'd be drafting rookies every year. You'd be dumping everyone. Like, veterans are players who are in the league for 2 years. So if this is a startup, I guess just draft the team like you normally would, who cares about age. But if this is this is a hard question to answer, because the only, besides quarterbacks, in the majority, like a few receivers and tight ends, most players retire at like 32. So there's like I said, an 8 to 10 year window of a player pool. So it's not like, I don't know, it's different. You know what I mean? I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but I'm definitely not. This is a very strange question for football.
Maybe you're crazy.
Age doesn't matter. Just pick talent.
Right. Just pick talent. That's what I was going to say, actually, is just pick the talent that you can figure will give you the longest retention. And I know that seems obvious, right? Like, get the guys that are going to last the longest, that are going to do the best. But there's going to be some obvious answers in there. You know, like David Johnson, he's fairly new. Like, that guy's probably going to be a high target. Like Max said, though, be ready to look for somebody really quickly because the running back position fades the fastest. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm always in it to win at every single thing I'm doing. So I'm like, yeah, win now. You always want to win now.
But you guys also have to, look at it in a way that's like, everyone thought DeMarco Murray was going to be done when he's on the Eagles 2 years ago, and now he's quote unquote an old running back, and he's still ranked at a second round value.
Right.
So football age is weird. You know what I mean? It's weird. But if you want a win-now strategy, you know, and the guys aren't drafting the quote-unquote old dudes, I mean, is Le'Veon Bell an old dude? He's been in the league for 5 years. Is Antonio Brown an old dude? Is A.J. Green old? Like, I don't know really where to draw the line of the people who are playing for the future and the people who are playing for now, because the guys right now are fantastic until they're not. You know what I mean? There's almost never like a slow progression. Calvin Johnson was great until the day he retired. Marshawn Lynch was great until the day he retired. So it's different.
Right. But you got the general idea that they're probably going to spend 10 years in the NFL. The talented players. So you just have to keep that in mind. I mean, if Le'Veon Bell, I think he's like 25, right? Something like that. He at least has, you know, he's going to play at least 6 more years for sure. Pick him up. Why not? You're going to have him for a couple more years.
You hope.
Well, okay, fine. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
Welcome to my mailbag, first one of the year. I'm doing really bad, and it's live. All right. So, Davis W15, or however you want to pronounce that name. Who's better this year, Cook or Mixon? Who's better long-term? Now, I know everyone likes Mixon, but Cook is in a program, in an organization that loves running backs. They just had the best possibly to ever live on their team. I think this year, at least, he's going to be better. Julian, what do you think?
I mean, these are teams that both love their running back positions and both have many rushing attempts in their games. However, Mixon is a little more crowded. It's a little more crowded in Cincinnati, but you know, with Cook, who knows what's going to happen when Latavius gets there. Latavius could take that role. For me, right now, I mean, long term, it could be Cook. But I mean, you could also make the same case for Mixon. I don't know. You're hearing reports and rumors that he can have 20 touches in the first game. And that could, you know, for all we know, it could be all season. That could be all career.
I mean,
you know, like,
this is what sucks. This is what I complained, I'm pretty sure it was to Mike, about drafting so early, looking at ADP so early, and trying to predict players. Mixon got hurt today. Not supposed to be serious, but he got hurt. So I can tell you right now, Cook is better because Mixon got hurt this year. Mixon could be better long term. Hill and Gio right. were good running backs 2 years ago, and they're still young. If you didn't know that, they're still very young. Or are they old in Dynasty? I have no idea in football. But it's one of those things where, like, who knows what's going to happen? I'm saying Cook because you're right. He has less competition because you still have Gio. You still have Hill with the Bengals. Cook really only has Latavius Murray, and Latavius Murray is still in the pup. So Cook's kind of the guy right now and the guy, I think, going forward. But, Mike, what do you think?
See, and I like Mixon this year. I like Cook long-term because I think he's got a better skill set than Mixon does, but not – I just don't like – I was – the exact opposite argument for me is I feel like in Minnesota, Cook's going to have to face against Latavius Murray, who I think is a great running back, where you've got Mixon who's going to be up against Hill and Gio Bernard. And I'm like, no, there's just – I mean, there's no way that he can't be better than those two. And even though Minnesota does love their running back since Adrian Peterson hasn't really loved them back that much. They haven't been very decent on the run game. Granted, they haven't had, I mean, they're running it in with Matt Asiata, for Christ's sakes. I mean, it's just, it's not a good situation up there.
Hey, don't forget, Chris said Matt Asiata is going to be a factor this year. Neither here nor there. I do like Latavius Murray as well, but Latavius Murray, I don't even think has started practicing yet. Because he's coming off an injury, and the fact that they drafted a rookie so high makes me think they don't see Latavius as the immediate future or the future in general. So I do agree long term I like Cook more, but I also think I like Cook more just because short term there's less abled bodies to take his spot.
Yeah, but I'm saying like week three, week four, when Latavius Murray comes back, I'm thinking you're going to wish you had Mixon on your team for the rest of the season.
Hey, week
just
three,
this year.
If he's out until week three, week four, and Cook is doing something like real, if he's, I'm not saying an elite running back, but he's like solid, I don't see why Minnesota would change it. They might spell Cook. They might do a split, which I could definitely see, because you can't have a talent like Latavius and just not use him. But I don't know. See, time will tell. It's one of those things where you like Mixon long term. You like Mixon short term. I don't. Julian, we kind of all agree that Cook's better long-term.
I mean, it's set up for both of them, I think. But I think Cook can be probably best long-term. Mixon is probably now.
All right, so you got two for Mixon now and three for Cook long-term. Yeah. That's the closest thing we've all come to agreeing. I'm proud of us. Progress. All right, guys, so we're going to do one more question, and then we're going to have a commercial break. So, Swole. That's how you say that, right? Soel? Swole?
Swole.
Guys, give yourselves Sowell. Easier names.
Sowell.
Soul. Thank you, Producer Steve.
How does he know that?
Who knows, dude? He's a genius.
Jesus Christ.
Heard this today and thought it was interesting and looking to get your thoughts. If, capital letters, you were big, if there... What?
If you were big, if there's a big situation there.
All right. To draft a handcuff, would you handcuff your own running back for safety or handcuff opposing teams' running backs to gain a step up on everyone else? I want to start answering the question like I always do because I'm mean, I'm rude. it depends on your running back. If you have, like Lamar Miller, I wouldn't really grab his handcuff. There's no one there that's going to take it from him. If you have Todd Gurley, I'm pretty sure Dunbar is done for the season, so I really wouldn't worry about taking his backup. If you have DeMarco Murray, yeah. if you have Cook, someone like that, LeSean McCoy, yeah. But my last two or three rounds of every draft, I usually just try to grab other people's backups just to be mean.
Yeah.
Personally. But, Julian.
And that's a little trade bait, too. That's also a little trade bait advice there. To grab other people's handcuffs. But I don't know. There's only just a couple of players. Obviously, like you said, McCoy. And then there's, you know, guys like, obviously, you want to grab McFadden. The hamster, Doug Martin. I mean, if you want to get Jaquese Rogers, or there's just a couple of handcuffs that are like musts. I know people are talking about Kareem Hunt. He can be slipping to the first team offense.
Well, I mean, like you got look like so like if someone drafted Howard, I'm probably going to draft Langford from the Bears. You know what I mean? Like, because you can get Langford super late, and if Howard goes down, Langford's the guy.
Yeah, some of these handcuffs are going to be going undrafted. So if you really want to be an asshole and grab the other people's handcuffs, yeah.
We are live, and there are children listening. I hope Steve's quick with that button. Mike, welcome.
Well, you guys are going to grow a little grow a little bit today.
You're going to learn today.
I actually really quick shout out to Soul. He's a big fan. He's one of my friends there on Sleeperbot. But I'd say, yeah, you just if you don't get the target player, you do grab the handcuffs of the most likely injured people. You know, I mean, and again, that always sounds really obvious, but yeah, LeSean McCoy, he's the guy that you're looking at right here because he's the guy that has a tendency to get injured. Looking at that. Kyrie Williams tonight on Arizona. He was looking good. Andre Ellington was looking really good too.
You guys remember Kyrie Williams?
Kyrie Williams, there you go.
Yeah, the year Kyrie or Kerwin Williams, the year Seattle made their Super Bowl run, they played against the Cardinals, and the Cardinals, Ellington went down. This is like during the regular season. And Kerwin came in, and I picked him up, and I had him for that game, and he killed it. He killed it. He was a rookie. He just killed it. And I was so shocked the following season when they didn't give him a chance again. Like, it really confused me. They went and signed Chris Johnson. They had David Johnson. And to be honest, I didn't really know who David Johnson was before David Johnson became a household name. But, like, he's really good, and he's a definite backup I'd have. But
right. Yeah. To me, it's just all about how deep is your league. To me, I'd rather pack full of starters than pack full of handcuffs any day of the week.
For the most part, a lot of these handcuffs are going to go undrafted, but you can always pick them up after the draft or after week one. You know, most times. I don't know if there's any must, unless it's like McFadden, probably McFadden and Jaquese Rogers.
Right, when you know he have a pending suspension or. A possible pending suspension in Ezekiel Elliott's. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but
like, and I'm just talking about drafting and drafting wise, like to draft the handcuff. Right.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, folks.
Sleeper's time is running out for that pristineauction.com raffle of the signed Antonio Brown jersey. Don't forget, you can still enter. We are closing the entries at the beginning of preseason, so there's still a little bit of time. All you have to do, go to wherever you've listened to the podcast, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, wherever you find it. Leave us a nice review, take a screen grab, take a picture, whatever. Email it to us at sleeperwire@gmail.com, and you will have one entry into the drawing for the signed Antonio Brown jersey from pristineauction.com. And Pristine Auction is our choice of places to go when we want sports memorabilia, helmets, balls, posters, and jerseys, all signed, all certified, all at great prices from pristineauction.com. Check them out today.
This is Sean Merriman, and you're listening to the Sleeper Wire Show.
All right, we are back. Short-lived break, huh, guys? I'm kind of tired.
It's over?
No, it's not over, Julian. Wake up. All right, guys. The next question, we're going to hop right back into it, is from Willard, or Willyard. I always say his name wrong. I never know how to read it. I know how to spell it, but I couldn't read it to save my life. Do you guys think Luke Kuechly can return to the top of the fantasy linebackers with a full healthy season, or will Kiwon keep the top spot again? Buck Chatter says the play on giving Kiwon more chances for the blitz. Guys, Kuechly is an elite linebacker. Like, he's crazy. I love him, like, so much. He's so sick. He's one of the few players that I think can get injured and come back and be the number one defensive player for any team. He does everything. He can cover people. He gets sacks. He forces fumbles. Like, I don't want to say the best linebacker in the league because, like, that's, well, there's this person and this person. What about Manti Te'o or whoever the hell, pick a name from a hat.
Von Miller. Luke,
whoever you want, dude. Luke Kuechly, to me, is my favorite defensive player right now. And I will fully say, like, if I have full confidence, he will be a top two defensive player this year.
Well, look how bad they were without him last year. I mean, look how disorganized that defense was. Look how, I mean, they were just scattered. They looked like deer caught in headlights. I mean, almost every single one of them. So he also brings that leadership to the table, too. I really like Kuechly a lot, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a defensive player that's won Rookie of the Year. He's won it again, defensive player of the year, I think last year or a couple of years ago. He's at the top of his game. I don't know why this is really a question.
Well, I mean, you're this day and age, we're kind of seeing that there's always one guy on almost every team who's just an absolute animal, and their team thinks this guy has the potential to be the best defensive player in the league. I think, like, what was it, Mathieu? Tyron Mathieu came out and said he's the best player in the NFL. So, I mean, come on. But Luke Kuechly, yeah, it's saying a lot. And, you know, Mathieu's great, but Luke Kuechly is kind of like what Darling said. He's the backbone of the Panthers. Without them, or without him, they are a mess. They need him. And if you want him, take him, and I do not blame you. So that was it for the sleeper bot questions. Thank you all. We're going to move on to the Fantasy Life app. You guys ready?
Heck yeah.
Sorry, I was just giving myself some pump-up music.
I thought we had a tune there.
Right? This is from Gio. Doug Martin or Jaquizz Rodgers? Darling, I'm going to let you start this. I'm going to say, who do you think is going to have the starting job?
Jaquizz Rodgers all the way. I like him. I'm starting to get a little bit more and more off the Doug Martin bandwagon, but I'm still picking him up because he's got great value. But I do like Jaquizz Rodgers to take that job.
I like Rodgers. I just don't know if he can last. I don't know if he can last the entire season. But I do love him, and especially like for the first couple of weeks. Obviously he will last. I don't know. Let's say like half the season for sure. I don't know, but something questions, you know, his ability to be healthy for some reason.
But I mean, Doug Martin, like if you're worried about Jaquizz Rodgers getting hurt, don't even own Doug Martin. Like, let's say that first of all.
Right.
Jaquizz,
I would not own Doug Martin.
He's still young, dude. He's in his prime, and he looked fantastic last year. The only issue with that is when Doug Martin is healthy, he is so good. Like, he's so good. Like, he's an elite. If Doug, like, his rookie year, I know he doesn't have the touchdown production that people would want to see, but if you guys remember when he first broke into the league, he was one of, like, my sleeper picks that I kind of just picked up because he was there. He was amazing. Even when he comes back for, like, the three or four games he's actually healthy a season, he's amazing. So I'm going to have to say Jaquizz Rodgers because I do think he's very good. I don't think he's as good talent-wise as Doug Martin, but I think consistency will be key here. And as consistent as Jaquizz Rodgers is, like, that's going to be the tipping point for who the coaches pick between Doug Martin or Jaquizz. But, you know, don't hate me if Doug Martin comes back and takes his job. So we got Gio.
Are you drafting? Are you or Mike drafting Doug Martin?
Depends.
Yes. because I like his value.
Yeah, it depends.
I'm getting him fairly late. So
what's fairly late to you?
Sixth, seventh round.
Yeah, I'd take him there. I'd definitely grab Jaquizz, but I'd take him there.
And see, and then I turn around and I get Jaquizz in like the 11th or 12th. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, if you can do that, that's fine. I mean, a few of the mock drafts I saw, I think Doug Martin went in the fourth round once, and I was like, yeah, it's a little too rich for my blood. But, I mean, I'd own him. I wouldn't want to, because if you own Doug Martin, you're automatically locking up two spots in your roster.
Yeah.
If you're drafting, is there any, like, good running back that's suspended this year? Like, all right, let's say tomorrow Le'Veon Bell tweaks his ankle. Yeah, besides him. Let's say Le'Veon Bell tweaks his ankle. You have the first, like, the second pick in the draft. You want Le'Veon Bell. He tweaked his ankle. He's guaranteed to miss only the two first weeks of the season. Yeah, grab Jaquizz. You know what I mean? That's one of those things where it's like, then I'd grab Jaquizz because I only need him for 2 weeks. Then I can dump him. But if you take
Bell, it's one of those
Jaquizz. Like you,
it's one of those, like, if I drafted Zeke, you know, I definitely want to make sure I can get, like, Rodgers or, you know, Terrence West or whatever. But if we're talking about these two players, I think I like Rodgers a lot more than Martin right now.
Yeah, it's tough. Because, like, it's one of those handcuffs where it's like DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry. Last year, Gio and Hill. This year, Jamal Charles and C.J. Anderson. It's like, you need both. You can't just have one. You need both. All right, so we're going to move on to the next question because we're spending way too much time on Doug Martin and Jaquizz Rodgers.
We are.
Another one by Gio. Tannehill's replacements. I'm super excited about this, and I mentioned it earlier. But, Mr. Darling, start it up. Who do you think's going to take over the Dolphins' QB position?
You know, all signs kind of point to Kaepernick, although it's kind of looking like they're not very interested in that deal happening, and it's kind of starting to look like that Tannehill injury isn't as bad as it first was associated. So I'm thinking that he might be fine and he might be back to game time hopefully within the first couple of weeks.
Can you play pretend for me for a minute and just like act like he's gonna be out,
like
Tannehill just got shot in the thigh, like, oh, he's fine, he'll make it, like, he's good, he'll be back. But
then I think you'd see him make a move for like a Colin Kaepernick right there. I really do, because I mean, what other options are kind of available right now?
J. Daddy Cutler? Are you kidding me? Is Fitzmagic on a team right now? I don't think so.
I think that's all both with
probably not
good purpose.
This is gonna sound crazy, but like Osweiler, make a trade for him. Make the Browns eat some of that cap space. He's a short money rental. I hate Ozzy, and I said it last year, and I think he's the reason Lamar Miller did bad. But I do think Osweiler, and because he's only good at the short intermediate game, that's all he's good with, dumps and the deeks and dunks and that. I almost swore that stuff. I think he'd do okay there. You know what I mean? I don't think he'd win the games for them, but I don't think he'd lose them. If you know what I mean? But Julian, I mean, he's not my pick for the Dolphins. Please, for the love of Christ. I'll get into mine later. Julian, who do you think?
I think Kaepernick, to be honest. Just because Cutler's, you know, way at the end of his – I don't know. I know you said he might have some left in the tank, but to me, I think Kaepernick could probably do a little bit better of a job.
All right. So, Julian, you were a host last year. Mike, I'm assuming you were a fan because you're with us now.
Absolutely.
Last year, when we were even like this previous postseason or offseason, rather, coming up to it, I was like, I really hope the Bears just draft O-lineman. O-line is the most important thing in the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger came out and said he'll only like think about staying longer than this season if the Steelers improve their O-line. The Bears, I don't care what Nick says, have one of the worst O-lines I've ever seen in my entire life. And when you have a quarterback with any talent at all who gets their ass kicked up and down the field, day in and day out, just boom, 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 you're not going to care either. Your team doesn't care enough to protect you. Why would you care? The Dolphins have a decent O-line. I make the analogy, this is for Jay Cutler, by the way. I make the analogy to Tony Romo. Tony Romo was a joke in the league. This is before the injuries, before everything. He was a joke. Oh, threw a pick. Tony Romo did. You know what I mean? Like, that was him. Because his O-line was so bad, then they get this amazing O-line. Hey, Tony Romo just threw 16 touchdowns in one season to Dez Bryant. DeMarco Murray almost broke a rushing record. It's one of those things where your O-line is everything, and I feel like if Jay Cutler had a decent O-line, he's a veteran shot caller. He's decent. Like, there were a few years he looked good with the Bears. You know what I mean? Like, right. He knows how to do it. He knows how to get it done. But when you have, like, 1-2 sack, 1-2 pressure, 1-2 pressure, like, how does anyone, short of Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Joe Montana or one of the legendaries, thrive in that pressure? Andrew Luck, as much as people love him, I don't think is going to do well if he comes back this year because he has no O-line. But the Dolphins have one, and I think Jay Cutler, he even said, hey, didn't want to be with the Bears, did not want to play for them anymore, but I will push back my obligations to be an anchor to play for the Dolphins. Like, I'll do that. Because I think he's good enough. Yeah. And I think, say Tannehill's missing 6 weeks, Jay Cutler's the guy you want in there. Because you don't want the locker room rallying around Colin Kaepernick, because Kaepernick's young enough to still be a franchise quarterback. Now, Cutler, yeah, you could get a few years out of him. You can get like 2 or 3 years out of him. But I think with the Dolphins, he's looking to kind of just prove himself and maybe get another contract somewhere. You know what I mean? Just be like, hey, I still got it. Who wants me? I don't think right. He sees the Dolphins as a landing spot. But that's me. So I think Cutler. So 2 for Cap, 1 for Cutler. Nothing to do with politics of either. All right. Next question is from Dunny 2859. Talk Denver QB situation.
Woo. Was that Paxton and
Simeon. I like Simeon a lot.
I'm a diehard Denver fan. And
all right, take it away.
My answer to this question is, do I have to? Like,
yes, you do.
I'm just not excited about it this year. And I want to get excited, but it's going to take a lot. Unless he really grew up a lot this offseason and got a lot of good connections with, because, I mean, he was just throwing that ball all over the field. Although he's got a good arm, he doesn't have an accurate arm. So unless he really worked on that accuracy, I think it's going to be a tough couple of seasons in that division for the Denver Broncos, because the Chiefs are going to be for real, and I have a feeling Oakland's also going to be for real. So
now you're saying Simeon's was just whipping the ball, like you don't really trust him?
Not at the moment, no. Like I said, if he made some serious changes in the offseason, then I'll get back on board and I'll be excited in a second, just because diehard Denver fan. I don't care how they do. I'll still be a Denver fan. But
I don't know. Julian, what do you think?
I don't have too much of a take on it, but I'll just say, they spent a high draft pick on Lynch, if I remember correct. I mean, why not give the kid a shot during the preseason? I mean, give him more time than Trevor Siemian. Who knows? Maybe the whole idea is to start Siemian, but at least give more time to Lynch still. I think I want to see more of the preseason action before I can like really have an answer.
Well, it's like, so my thing is, they were both drafted last year, right? And Lynch got sat for Siemian. Now, if you look at like news reports and the tweets from the different anchors from out there, yeah, Lynch was a first round, Steve. I know that.
Right.
I know they traded up for him. But if you look at the hype, there's a ton of hype for Paxton Lynch. Oh, he's killing it in practice. He's doing great in the offseason workouts. Well, the same, like, different people are saying the same things about Trevor Siemian. And there has to be a reason the coaches wanted Siemian out there first. And it wasn't just, we're going to save Paxton's body for his rookie year. You know, we're not going to let him get beat up. Because Trevor, even though he didn't look clean, polished, and he wasn't great, he made plays. He had a decent understanding of the field. And with Kubiak leaving last year, like, a lot was going wrong in Denver. And to have a quarterback who can make it through that and come out the other end, I think he's doing all right. So I got Siemian this year. Or just don't draft either Denver quarterback and be happy. What do you guys think?
I was going to say Trevor Siemian got drafted 2 years ago. Paxton was just last year.
Well, whatever. All right. It doesn't matter. Simeon, he clearly didn't.
Well,
play.
He had one year. I liked one year. He didn't play
one,
right.
1 year ahead. I understand that, but still, with the coach leaving, I think he proved enough to me, at least, that he deserves the starting spot.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think he'll start, and I think if you see some fireworks come out of Lynch in the preseason, then you'll hear some discussions. But I think it'll just go status quo, Simeon, unless that changes.
All right. Right. So we just got another sleeper bot question from Tum Tum. He was actually in our mock draft. I have a fourth round pick in a standard league. Who should I take? Running back.
Running back.
Well, yep. It depends. I mean, isn't the ADP right now Johnson, Bell? I don't have it in front of me. I think it's Johnson, Bell, Zeke, Odell, Julio. So those are the top five.
I gotcha. It's Le'Veon, David, Johnson, Zeke, Antonio. You're right there. I mean, you can go Julio. You can go McCoy.
But like realistically, OBJ. The fourth pick. I just hope someone takes Antonio Brown, and I can get Zeke. David or Bell. If all three running backs go first, I'm taking Brown. But if Brown gets taken, I'm taking one of the three running backs.
Yeah, the top four in this draft, I think, are the biggest players. They outreach any other player underneath them by a certain amount. They're definitely the big four. For sure, just grab any of them.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, like ADP, this is one of, like, I can start debating ADP when you want to get to the 7th through 15th pick. You know what I mean? But the top four to the top six where you have, or top five, you have Bell. Yes, reading messages, sorry. Where you have Bell, David Johnson, Zeke, Odell, and Brown. Like, you can't go wrong picking any of those. I'd probably hold Antonio Brown over Odell. Odell would be my last option. But realistically, for me personally, I would try to go running back if they're available. Like, if one of the top three is available, go running back. If not, I'd take Antonio Brown. Mike, what is your insight?
Fourth pick, you're going to get – I have a feeling you're going to have either – the two you're going to have to choose from is going to be Ezekiel Elliott and Antonio Brown. And, again, you can't lose. I mean, you're going to get a great pick either way.
Right. Handcuff Zeke because he's probably going to get suspended, but that's about it.
Yeah, but I mean, shouldn't be for long. All right, so we have a Mixler chat question. The love of beer. What beer do you love? Do you buy the Rob Kelly Clear Number 1 Cheddar? Personally, I do not. Julian, do you?
For the beginning of the season.
I don't. No. I'm not on it at all.
You think week one will be Perrin? Is that how you say his name?
Perrin, yeah.
Perrin. I heard Perrin once.
I've heard it both ways. So Perrin has a lot of hype. Like he does.
I think he's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, you think a lot of rookies are gonna be awesome this year. I just don't trust that team at all. I mean, they piss through running backs. He's the guy. Like, the Redskins don't know what they're doing. Like, they have good running backs. They aren't really sure who they want to be the best on their team. They're just kind of picking and choosing as the day goes. You know what I mean?
They'll be like, passing mostly anyways, I think.
Wasn't Matt Jones supposed to be their stud last year? Like, and then...
Right, I know, 100%.
Kelly came up, and then you have Thompson. Like, they don't know what's going on.
Right, I hear you 100%.
Yeah, Perrine's probably going to be my guy, just because of the hype. Rob Kelly, I'd probably own for a week or two. If Zeke's out, grab him. But I kind of avoid. I do like Kirk Cousins from that team this year. Reed's obviously great. Crowder, I love. But I'd probably avoid the run situation there because it's almost as bad as New England. But at least New England doesn't tell you, hey, this is our guy. They just kind of like, hey, who's your guy? New England shrugs because they're not sure. Bill Belichick, like, I don't know. What week is it? All right. So the love of beer has another question. with the Panthers having such a favorable strength of schedule, do you think Cam rises back to the top if he's drafted in the six? What would be some would that be some pretty good value? I don't think, I think so. Well, I mean, it depends on your league. If it's a super flex, we have two QBs, yeah, great value. But I don't like drafting. I don't like drafting quarterbacks early. In sixth round, to me, is early. Like, when people reach for Andrew Luck and they reach for Brady and they reach for Rodgers in the third and fourth round, I'm like, go for it. I'll take Derek Carr on the 11th. Cam Newton, I do think, will have a bounce back year because Christian McCaffrey can catch. He can catch really well. He's very, very good at it. And the Panthers have already come out and said they're not going to allow, but they do not want Cam Newton running this year. But I need to stop talking. Julian, please, give me your thoughts.
I do think Cam will bounce back this year. Do I think six is too early? Probably. Is that his ADP right now, sixth round? I could have sworn it could have been like maybe seventh.
I don't think it's eighth. Six. I will look it up right now, though.
I'm trying to look it up. But it's tough to say. I think you can probably still get better value at the sixth round. But I wouldn't be mad at the fact if someone decided to get on him in the sixth round. I might not. I probably wouldn't get him in the sixth round.
See, and I don't like locking down quarterbacks. I like streaming my quarterbacks, so I don't draft mine until before the 12th or 13th round ever.
All right, I'm going to see if I can find his ADP real quick. So I'm on Fantasy Football Calculator for ADP. I think theirs is one I can agree with almost the most. So let's check this out real quick.
Yeah, I think he's going around the 8th. Mm-hmm. I just saw one of my mocks. Yeah, buddy, I think six is way too early. You can still get him, I think, in 8th. I think that's better value, for sure.
Well, I mean, you got to think, if you grab, Kirk Cousins late, and you grab, Phillip Rivers for the bye week, you're good. So Cam Newton's average draft position is the 7th round, 7.12. So, yeah, about the 7th round. That's too early. That's far too early for drafting quarterbacks, unless you're in a 2QB league. In a 2QB league, his ability to run it in is huge. But I just don't – I don't get Aaron Rodgers is the 2nd round. That's his ADP. 2nd round, 11th pick. It's like, why? Tom Brady's 3rd round, 3rd pick on average. Why?
Because those guys are point monsters. That's actually not a bad – those aren't bad picks.
But point monsters, Drew Brees in the 4th round, but Matt Ryan in the 5th, they had good weeks. Andrew Luck in the 6th, he's hurt. Derek Carr.
You can get Drew Brees
in the 4th.
You can get Drew Brees in the 5th.
Yeah, you can.
And in the 5th.
But Derek Carr this year, look at all the insane weapons he has. Kirk Cousins was great last year, and no one gave a shit. But no one even looked at him. Sorry, Steve, for swearing.
There's kids listening, Max.
I know, right? I'm still
they're going to learn today.
No, they're going to learn today. Well, Matt Stafford, who consistently throws 4,000 yards no matter who's on his team, you can get him in the 13th round. Tyrod Taylor, who's depending on how you look at it, he's essentially Cam Newton. I think he has a better arm. And if Sammy Watkins is healthy, he could be just as good. And he's a 14th round pick. Andy Dalton dropped. Carson Wentz. Has one of the most potentially lethal offenses this year with Alshon, Smith, Matthews. They have LeGarrette Blount as running back now. They won't use him much, but they have Sproles. Zach Ertz, his team is made to throw the ball. So, Carson Wentz, you can get, the 15th round. You can get him at the end of your draft. So, it's just, to me,
the quarterback,
it's just too quarterback much.
The quarterback position is deep this year, to be honest.
Yeah,
if you wanted to go for top tier quarterbacks, I think Breeze is probably the last name on that top tier.
I agree, 100%.
And that would be the 5th round. And
not
if you're
Derek
not
Carr.
Getting, and he's up there, but he's being underrated. He's being undervalued right now. So you can get him. You can take advantage of that and get him later.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd probably go Tom Brady because if I had to pick a quarterback in the top 5 rounds, 6 rounds. I'd go Brady just because the team is made for passing, but I wouldn't want to. I really wouldn't want to.
I also am not a fan of the Patriots, so I'd try to stay away.
Yeah.
I'd try to stay away from that.
All right.
but I, But I hate when I'm playing him. That's when it sucks.
All right, so we got a question from CDay007. What player or players will not be on each of your teams? It doesn't just have to be someone that's way overdrafted. It could be someone who you want to avoid at all costs, or someone who is just always drafted around better players. I'm very interested to hear. Aaron Rodgers, second round. Don't draft him. No, but in all reality, I'm going to have to say Sammy Watkins, and I think Mike Darling's going to agree with me. I don't understand why people draft him so high.
I was just thinking that same thing with Sammy Watkins because the injury risk is just too high for the value. When he's good, man, he is good, but he's just not good consistently enough for me.
Yeah. Julian, you got anyone?
No, yeah, Watkins is one. Just want to see if I can grab a different player.
While you look, I got John Brown. People hype John Brown up so much, and it's like he's done nothing to prove it to me that he deserves that hype. I mean, he was really good for his first, like, 3 weeks, and every once in a while he catches a bomb. But, like, oh, he hasn't had enough time to show what he can do because he's hurt. Well, look at Tyler Lockett. He's essentially the same exact player with arguably a better offense. He hasn't done anything. He's a one-trick pony. Look at Marquise Goodwin. Good for a few weeks. Not great. When you're looking at people who only have speed and that's it, it's very hard to be a productive receiver in the NFL, and I don't understand why people love John Brown so much. I just genuinely don't get it. So he's someone I try to avoid. Like, he could actually be someone I would pick up to trade. Like, the Cardinals have an easy schedule. Like, pick him up. Hope he has a first
week
and dump him.
Yeah, exactly. Then you got to hope that he has 2 good weeks. Otherwise, it's a waste of a spot for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
I guess one player, I guess I could say Carlos Hyde, maybe. Some injury risk there. He could get traded. They kind of have doubts he will be even the starter. I'm not going to say Jay Ajayi because who knows? He could have a good season, but I don't know if I would pick him up.
He's a high cost to pay for a team that doesn't like to use their running backs too much. Mike, do you have anyone else besides Sammy Watkins and our mutual hate for him?
Jay Ajayi is actually right up there on that list too. I just don't feel like he's the price. The price that you're paying is really my only argument. Will he be good this year? Possibly. I see him maybe getting more around just a couple 100-yard-plus games, maybe a couple of those 2-touchdown-plus games, but I see the rest of it being fairly stagnant. And just the other players you can grab at that level are so much better, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, right. I can see that. I mean, isn't he like, he's late first round, early second, right? Kind of the Lamar Miller treatment, and people hate Lamar Miller, and it's like, all right, like, Lamar Miller has been decent for you every year, and he's on a team that, like, he was on a team, the Dolphins, that didn't really use him very much, but people are giving Ajayi all this hype, and the Dolphins, you got to think, after his huge games, they kind of went away from him. Like, right. They're not a team that really goes for the running backs. But we do have another question. We got one more question. This is from Fogg. This is some big news. The Create a League option is up on Sleeperbot. That's mailbag worthy. Try it out. And let's hear your thoughts. All right. So I
completely agree that is mailbag worthy.
It is mailbag awesome. Worthy. I mean, I've loved the mock drafts on it so far. The mock drafts have been great. At first, the first mock draft I did, I didn't like it. I was like, I don't get it. Why is it showing me a draft board? Like, this is annoying. I don't care what other people are picking because I'm selfish. But after like my 8th or 9th draft, I really started liking it. And I think our own personal Sleeper Wire, like, internal league is going to be held on it this year.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm the commissioner. I get to make those rules. So, that's how it goes. But, once we do that, we're going to let you guys know what we think of it. And, to any of the listeners out there who use the Sleeperbot draft kit, please let us know what you think. We are in constant contact with Sleeperbot. We love those guys. Hopefully they love us too. So any feedback we can get for them, I'm sure will help, and they'll look to improve it immediately. Also, be sure to join the Sleeper Wire channel on Sleeperbot. Well, guys, I think that's it for questions.
No, you're good. Just playing some music under the outro. Go ahead.
I can just read the outro?
Yeah, man. Wrap it up. Great show. Really, really great show, guys. Really good job.
All right. All right, guys. Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you very much for listening. And all of your questions, or for any more of your questions, head over to sleeperwire.com. We have rankings, podcasts. You can put your questions right there, and we'll try to get to them within 24 hours. Also, help support our cause. Make a donation to Rob's treatment for chronic Lyme disease. We really want to make a big improvement in his life and a huge dent in his money-raising goal. If you donate $10, that's an entry to the raffle to play in for a Sleeper Wire Pro-Am. Check out the details at sleeperwire.com/Pro-Am. All right, Julian, tell the loyal fans they can find you, buddy.
You can find me on SleeperBot. I'll be at JulianSW. I have the Jets icon. Please don't make fun of me about that. I take that very to heart.
He cries a lot, folks. He cries a lot. All right, darling. Where can they find you?
Dr. Kane. You can find me at Dr. Kane on 21 or at Dr. Kane 21 on Twitter as well.
All right, I am Max SW on SleeperBot. I can't remember my fantasy life name because I'm a loser and I have to make a new Twitter. Also, guys, you can follow the show at SleeperWire Show on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. We're on Instagram, and we're going to start a YouTube page soon. Thanks again for listening, and have an awesome week.
See you guys.
You could beat us at fantasy football? How about Matt Harmon or Marcus Grant from NFL? Dynasty nerds. Think you could beat the football fellas? Think you could beat the Clock Dodgers podcast? Well, this is the time to find out. Sleeper Wire is hosting its annual Pro-Am League, and we've got listener spots available. You'll be playing against podcasts and experts from the fantasy world, Roto Experts, Dynasty Happy Hour, SleeperBot, Fantasy Life, Eat Sleep Fantasy. They're all in the Pro-Am, and this is your chance to play against them. All you have to do, go to sleeperwire.com/Pro-Am, P-R-O-A-M. Make a donation to SleeperWire's cause, our good friend Rob, battling chronic Lyme disease. Donate $10. $10 gets you an entry into a raffle. The names picked will play in the Pro-Am against these experts. The more $10 increments you donate, the more raffle tickets you get. We're going to be picking the winners soon and drafting late August. Go to sleeperwire.com/Pro-Am for details and how to enter. Go today.